My name is Joshua. I am an infantryman with a private military outfit I cannot name. We are currently deployed on a security detail in a war-torn corner of Africa. Our mission has gone horribly, horribly wrong. And I don't think we're fighting insurgents or terrorists anymore. Our entire force will be moving out soon. I'm not sure we will be coming back. Whatever we come across here, it's not natural, it's none of this earth, and it wants us all dead. I was part of the team that found it a week ago. It was supposed to be just a routine patrol. Our objective was to make sure there was no enemy movement in the vicinity of our base, and no threat to the one local settlement in the area. It was a hot, dry day. The sun beat down mercilessly, and the scrub-covered plains that we moved through gave no protection against the elements, not even a single tree to throw a little shade. I was sweating horribly, my head lowered to shield my eyes against the glare of the sun. Because of this, I barely managed to stop in time to avoid colliding with Harris, my squad mate. He had been in position in front of me, but had stopped without warning. "What's going on, man?" I asked, walking around him. "What's the holdup?" Harris was motionless, his face screwed up in confusion. "Something's wrong with my radio, Josh," he answered at last. I leaned in closer and immediately heard what he meant. His radio was giving off strange squawking sounds mixed with high-pitched buzzing. "What's the delay?" came a yell from up ahead. Our superior, Sergeant Wright. I cursed inwardly. Wright was a hard son of a bitch, and I didn't want him thinking we were slacking. "Equipment malfunction, sir," I answered quickly. "Radio's acting up." Sergeant Wright walked over to us. The rest of the patrol, some 5 men, cast annoyed glances at us. Every minute we spent out here in the heat was torture, and to them, me and Harris were only prolonging their suffering. "What's wrong with it?" asked Wright. "Some kind of interference, sir," answered Harris, experimenting with the various switches on the receiver. I don't know if..." The whole patrol cursed and covered their ears as every single radio suddenly erupted in a deafening chorus of shrills, squawking and whistles. After several seconds, the deluge of sound stopped just as suddenly as it had begun. "What the hell was that?" I asked, my ears ringing. Sergeant Wright didn't answer, instead activating his own radio. "Command, can you read me? Over," he said, testing the connection. There were seconds of silence, then the receiver chirped to life. "This is command, over. We have equipment malfunction here, some sort of radio interference. Anything of that sort at base, over." "Something just happened to us as well, Sergeant. All our systems went haywire for several seconds, then straight back to normal. Continue your patrol, but be careful. Report any activity immediately. Over." The line went dead. Sergeant Wright brandished his rifle. "You heard the order, man. Move out, fire sharp." We set out again. The sun still beat down, but we were no longer lethargic from the heat. Adrenaline had purged that weakness from our minds. All eyes were up, scanning our surroundings intently. After half an hour of walking, we spotted something in the distance. A strange bump in the train. Harris brought his binoculars up, scanning it intently. "What is it, Harris?" I asked. "I thought it was all planes out here." "It is," he said, lowering the binoculars. "Or at least, it was supposed to be. There's some sort of low hillock there, though." We pushed on, cautious and alert. Eventually, we reached a strange bump. It wasn't high, only a few meters tall, but it was wide, stretching out far on both sides of us. We climbed to its top and stopped in awe. Before us was a massive chasm, a circular hole into the ground. almost 200 feet across. Peering down, all I could see was darkness. The bottom nowhere in sight. A cold, clear draught hit me in the face. "What is this?" mumbled one of the soldiers. "This isn't supposed to exist." Sergeant Wright unslung his pack, holding out a large field map. He unfolded it and scanned across it, locating our position, his face screwed up in confusion. "Whatever this is, it isn't on the map," he said at last. "You're right, it isn't supposed to be here at all." "Sergeant, look," said Harris. His voice had suddenly become very small and quiet. His eyes was distant. The sky was full of birds. Where they had come from so quickly, I didn't know. The flock wheeled and swelled in strange patterns like nothing I'd ever seen. As I watched, one bird suddenly stopped flapping its wings and straight down. This was no controlled, graceful dive. It felt like a stone, cartwheeling and spinning uncontrollably, cawing and shrieking. It plumbed into the darkness of the pit and was gone. Another followed, then another, and more joined then. In less than a minute, the air in front of us was filled with falling bodies, all stone still as they fell down into the darkness of the chasm. They're killing themselves, whispered one of the soldiers. They're fucking killing themselves, man. We returned straight to the base. Sergeant Wright immediately reported the chasm, of course. The confusion only grew after that. Not only was the hole not on our maps, it also didn't appear on any of the satellite images of the area, and no previous patrol had noticed it. It was as if it just appeared out of thin air. In the several seconds, all our electronics went down. Theories flared up like fire. Was it an insurgent base? Had they hidden it somehow? It seemed like the most logical explanation. Far-fetched, though, it was. The chasm quickly became known as 225199, after its grid coordinates. By the time Wright finished his report to command, night was quickly approaching, and there was little time to formulate a response. As the sun fell, staining the plains orange and red, two troops carried departed our base. 20 men were dispatched to guard 225199 until the next morning. On top of that, it was surrounded by motion-activated tripwires. If anything moved around it, we would know. I spent the evening discussing our findings with Harris in our tent. He was just as dumbfounded by the situation as I was. "How the hell could someone keep a place like that secret?" he asked me. Disassembled rifle in his lap. "Where would the locals get that kind of technology?" "I don't know, man," I answered, idly lighting a cigarette. "Whatever it is, we'll find out tomorrow. Someone will probably get sent down there to recon, and then we'll know." "What about those birds? That was weird as hell." Harry shrugged his shoulders. "Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe there's some vapors coming out of it that paralyzes or confuses them." "I guess," I answered wearily. "Anyway," continued Harris, "at least something interesting is happening. It's been too long since." The flap to our tent flew open, and we jumped to attention as Sergeant Wright swept in. "Sergeant, what's..." I began. "Get your gear on now, soldier. We're moving out. Move." He turned on his heel, running out of the tent immediately. We both sprung into action, putting on our equipment and shouldering ready packs. As we ran out into the night, we were immediately surrounded by bustling, anxious activity. The whole base was on its feet. Men and women running around, preparing equipment and vehicles. "What's happening?" I yelled at Harris. "I don't know, man," he answered, "but I don't like it." We quickly joined the rest of our unit. The last to do so, Sergeant Wright gave us a withering look before clearing his throat and addressing the whole squad. 12 minutes ago, the proximity sensors around 225911 went off, all of them, around the entire circumference at the same time. The unit dispatched a guarded reported movement before their radios went dead. Wright was silent for several seconds. In the dark, I was almost certain he was trembling. What had he heard in his briefing that could make him react like this? Our orders are to move in, secure the location, and find our missing comrades. Be on high alert. We're not sure what we're dealing with out there. Our unit was ushered onto the bed of a truck, and we quickly drove out into the night. We weren't the only ones. Our vehicle was only one of dozens. Hundreds of men were being mobilized. It took little time to reach 225-199. As the trucks rolled to a halt, we jumped off his bed, weapons held high, penning the night. The hillock surrounding the abyss loomed above us in the darkness. We moved out. Our progress is slowed by both low visibility and our own wariness. Every swaying scrub hedge seemed to be hiding the movement of an enemy. Something pale in front of me caught my eye. My weapon came up, and I mumbled into the radio, I have something. I approached the thing slowly. At first, I couldn't make out any details, but as I moved forward, the shape resolved. A man lying on the ground. He was naked, stripped of all clothes and equipment. He wasn't moving. I rushed forward to him. I need a medic at my location immediately. I cried into the radio, my heart hammering. Behind, I could hear footsteps as the rest of my unit closed in, covering me. I knelt down at the prone figure. Still, he didn't move. The man was lying face down, and I reached under him to roll him over. As I shifted his body, my heart plummeted. He was cold. Too cold. No living being could ever be this cold. Command, I have a... My voice trailed off. The way the body had moved as I turned it over. The way it had felt. It had been strange. I couldn't place my finger on why. With a rush of disgust and horror, I realized why. The body was horribly soft, plain, the limbs bending at angles as if made of rubber. The body had no bones. I bent over and reached onto the ground. A hand gripped my shoulder, and the face of Sergeant Wright appeared next to me. Figures came out of the dark, medics and soldiers. Come with me, Private, said Wright quietly, putting his arm around my shoulders. There's nothing we can do here. I don't. I began, but a fresh bout of nausea silenced my objections. Many strong arms grabbed me and led me away. I don't remember the journey back to the base. Harris told me that only a few trucks returned. Most of the soldiers stayed behind, scouring the land for the rest of the missing unit. They never found them. In the morning, Sergeant Wright informed me that I was to stay on the base that day. The rest of my unit would be going to the local village to ask them for potential information on the attackers from last night. I didn't complain. The horrible memory of that morbidly soft, blank body had seared itself into my mind. I needed time to recover. But as the day wore on, I couldn't stop thinking about the previous night and the corpse I'd found. What could possibly do something like that to a man? How could his bones be removed from his body? I had seen no obvious injury that might have explained such a hideous disfigurement. Had I simply missed it in the dark? My morbid thinking was finally interrupted as my unit returned. I could immediately see that something was wrong. Where usually they would be playfully taunting each other or discussing the situation on base, they were quiet and brooding. Harry sat down in his cot opposite me. He was pale, his eyes darting and furtive. Harris, what's wrong? I asked, confused. It's nothing, Josh, he answered quietly. Did something happen in the village? Are the locals all right? They're fine. They didn't tell us what happened at 225199. Then what's wrong? Why is everyone acting like this? Harris looked at me, his eyes filled with uncertain, unknown terror. A chill ran down my back. They know something, man. They wouldn't tell us. Even when Wright lost his temper and threatened them, kept saying that they didn't do it. Then what? That's not all they said, Josh. We talked to the young ones first, of course. You know how the locals are. The older they are, the more they hate us. No one wanted to talk to us. They just looked down and said they didn't know anything. We were about to leave, but then some old crone started shouting. She had kept silent all the time, but she finally opened up. What did she say? I asked. Without realizing it, I had dropped my voice to a whisper. She said that her people were innocent, that something else had taken our men. She called it something strange, older than light. She warned that we should forget about them and pray that we won't be next. This was 5 days ago. Today we finally received orders. The entire base is moving out. The decision was made way up the chain of command. Someone in charge seems to think that the chasm is home to a terrorist cell, and we are being sent to flush them out. I don't think any one of us here actually believes that. The people giving the orders haven't seen what we've seen. We surrounded the chasm from all sides, our advance covered by armored vehicles and hovering helicopters with weapons trained on the abyss. Military engineers moved in. They've constructed a massive pulley system that would lower dozens of men at a time into the darkness on a huge platform. An hour ago, you were supposed to begin descending. All units were standing ready, awaiting their turn. The mood was grim. Harris held down a well-worn crucifix in his fist and mumbled prayers. The air around us thrummed with the spinning rotors of attack helicopters. They were once again covering the abyss, all weapons ready. From up there, they had a commanding view of the area and could even peer down into the darkness. I didn't see the moment things went to shit. Harris suddenly cursed, pointing upwards at the sky, his face pale. What the fuck? What the fuck? I followed his gaze. High above us, the hovering helicopters swayed madly, as if their pilots were intoxicated. The sergeants were screaming into the radios, requesting information, orders, anything. Suddenly, the aircraft lurched forward, drawn like marionettes by an insane puppet master. They swung towards the dark chasm. One by one, the pilots stalled their rotors and plummeted gracelessly down into the blackness. Whatever it is we found out here, it's not natural. It's not of this earth. We cannot fight it or send it back wherever it came from. I want you to pray. Pray for our missing comrades. Pray for the pilots we've lost. Pray for us as we journey down to where they fell. But most importantly, pray that whatever dwells in the darkness chasm doesn't come out. Pray that you're not next.